Thank you so much for the privilege of that I can share God's word here tonight. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis, and we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. I will be reading. Let's read together God's word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering. Ah, please forgive me. I read Genesis 1. Now the serpent were more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any of the tree that in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We might eat of any of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin clothes. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'Did the serpent deceive me and I ate?' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, 'You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" This is for the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for this word. Thank you that we know where sin comes from. And I pray, Father, as we look at this passage, let you come and speak to us. Our desire is to hear from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, tonight I'm well aware that in many religions of the world today, there's many stories and fables how evil have come into the world. And the one opinion that matters is the living God's opinion. And we have His Word. He has clearly revealed it to us. But this passage where God is describing here is not just so that we might know the truth, but in actually that we might know that He seeks to have relationship with His humans that's following Him. And as we zoom in to the two image bearers of God, Adam and Eve, we are going to see how they acted or how they listened to God's spoken word here. Just some historical background that will be very helpful to us is that in Genesis chapter 2, God have given a command. The command is very clear and simple. He's telling Adam, you shall not eat from the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of good and evil. And they also, God also explained to them what will be the consequences if they eat of the tree. Death, certain death will come in. Something that's also important just to notice before this time, before Genesis chapter 3, is that in heaven, Satan have rebelled against God. And because he wanted to be God, or like God, God have cast him out of heaven. So now, yeah, if we get back to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to study. I just want also to say, our studies that we've been doing in the past from Access Truth have been very helpful, and I've used a lot of their material in the sermon. We're not told specifically why the devil or the Satan came choose to disguise himself as a serpent or as a snake, but the text does give us a hint, because the text says that he was the craftiest of all the animals. And the pattern here is this, continues to the present time. And God's enemy carefully, sneakily, and viciously finding ways to disguise himself and wrapping his deception to in attractive and seemingly caring packaging. And as we see, Satan tries to find points where we are vulnerable, using our pride, our desire for fulfillment. Whatever the devil can do, he uses to whisper his lies to us. And his intent is not to frighten us, but his intent is to deceive us. In the book of John, we read that Satan was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, who is a liar and the father of lies. Here in the narrative, in the story we just read, we see that when Eve started to speak to the serpent, that she was not disturbed or alarmed. She was willingly conducting a conversation with the serpent. Satan now asks a question. An often question seems neutral, but it's always important to look at the foundation from which the question comes. The serpent here asks a question not so much for Eve to respond to the question, but he's asking the question so that Eve will doubt what God's words say. And the serpent came and said, did God really say? The line of questioning will effectively cause Eve to doubt God's good motives, doubt His word, what God and the good motives that God has towards them. Also, what's important in this passage, we see that Satan twists the scripture. God said, you shall eat of one tree only, not. And Satan said, God said that you're not allowed to eat of any of the tree that's in the garden. And what the devil is saying, in fact, to Adam and Eve here, is that God is withholding a blessing or something good from you. And by implication, to create a glimpse of another more independent and self-determining approach to life. Why should they? Is the implication not make decisions for themselves? Surely God's warning about death resulting of their eating of the forbidden tree is just exaggeration? What's it about death anyway? Could it be like God had selfishly kept some good back from Adam and Eve? Were God's intention towards his image bearers really so perfect? Was Adam and Eve naive by listening to God and not questioning him from the beginning? Might there maybe be a more unexplored, desirable dimension to a less independent creator? And Eve buy into Satan's deception, being enticed by the appearance of the tree and subtle hunger for independent wisdom. She took of the fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband, Adam, and he willingly ate some of it. We see the implication of this were immediate and catastrophic. The story here doesn't tell us anything about something physical that changed in maybe the forest where they were or the surrounding. But in fact, everything changed. They saw everything different. Indeed, it says in verse 7 that the eyes were open, but it was not a liberating experience. Satan suggested it would be, or how they imagine it. They suddenly found themselves ashamed and naked, exposed, no longer at home in the world that God had created for them, no longer comfortable with who they were, or with each other. So have God exaggerated when he said they will die if they ate from the fruit? They were still breathing. Their senses were still functioning. But of course, God has spoken truly. Death unavoidably, tragically, had now become part of who they were. They had chosen to cut themselves off from God, the source of life. Physical death had now become the end point of their lives on earth, their story, in fact. And ultimately, they were destined eternally for a place prepared for God's enemy and all the enemies of God. That's who they identify with. And that's in which fate they will share. The narrative makes it clear that the amazing God-to-God image-bearer relationship was now broken. And in real essence, that is death as well. Where they formerly, they were innocent, pure. Now their nakedness brought shame, a sense of shame on them. And then it causes conflict in God's word. Feeling shame and wrongfully assuming that it's external problem, a matter of form, they try to hide their shame with leaves to make themselves presentable to God again, according to their own standards, according to their own perception of good and evil. But it's no solution. The problem is inner, of the spirit. It's a way out of their control. Their ability to patch things up will not work for God. Now God comes to the garden. And at this point it sounds like it was a regular thing for God to come in the end of the day or in the cools of the day to the garden. And what does God find? They are hiding themselves. Fear has displayed harmony and delight in the garden. Everything was wrong. Shame and fear were in fact the right response for Adam and Eve. They had much to be ashamed for and much to fear. They had listened to God's enemy and identified with his rebellion. They had become rebels and enemies themselves in their very being. They are facing God's righteous anger. He's not going to just ignore them. Anyone who arrogantly tries to write their own story, he's going to punish. After all, the Bible is God's story. God is the author of the Bible. Anyone who doesn't acknowledge that, who listens to any other voice, will suffer eternal consequences. Evil and death, in all its dimension, had now entered and become part of who they were, just as God had warned them that it would. God called out to Adam and Eve, asked them where they were. Of course, God knew where they were. He knew all that had taken place. So his calling out like this had other purpose than seeking information. In fact, God was declaring, revealing important things about himself, as he always does, and tirelessly does. He reveals that he is the communicating God who speaks. God's voice is the one that Adam and Eve needed to hear. Even though it produced fear in Adam and Eve, that is the voice that they needed to know. They have been deceived through the devil, and they needed the truth on it, and they needed God's truth on things. Even now, having turned away from him, joined in Satan's rebellion, even with death and the fractured relationship stamped all over them, God is reaching out to them. God is taking the initiative, like he always does, in salvation, knowing that they are unable, as we see, God wanted them to acknowledge that he had spoken truly to them. And he wanted them to understand that the desperate need of him at this. They desperately needed God in this time, their first and darkest moment where they have sinned and rebelled against God. Adam admit his fear, and they were hiding because of being ashamed of the nature. When God asked them, reaching out, reaching down in love. This kind of reaching down for no reason other than his loving choice can never be effective, can only be effective labeled, cannot be effective labeled in the human language. In English, the best word we have to describe it is the word grace. But grace, this word grace has also lost its meaning. But here we have a wonderful opportunity to hear the story of how he reached out in grace to rescue humans from their predicament. This part of the narrative concludes with God giving them some insight into the consequences of their disobedience. Eve will experience pain in childbearing. The earth where Adam was living is now cursed. For Adam's sake, he will produce thorns and thistles. It's going to become a changed environment, a much harder environment where they will need to live in. It will be full of difficulties and pain. Their needs will be only met by great challenges, hardship, and physical work. Because of their ancestors, and because they were our ancestors, our great-great-great-grandparents, all of our human race, the dire result, we get that sinful nature from them. The great curse would come on all of us, having chosen to try to write their story, their own story. It will not be a pleasant story, a pleasant sight for mankind. Thankfully, for us, God did not walk away. He still have the final say in things. And he still has his final commands to his lost, his image bearers that have went away in a lost state, rebelling against him. Once again, we see how a seemingly
simple narrative is embedded with things God wants to draw our attention to about Himself, and how everything else, including us, stands in relationship to Him. The point here is one that will be hammered how many times as we study the narrative of God and how God is threshing out that man, by only efforts that he made to cover up over his sinfulness, it's not good enough for God. It is not going to please God. Our ingenuity, energy, our resources, our devotion, whatever, never comes close to God's standard. Never can and never will come close to God's standard. It doesn't even make it on the radar in terms of satisfying God. It was quite interesting in this passage as we continue to, if we continue to read, that it was skins of animals that God says He used. This, in fact, was the first record of animal death in the narrative in God in Genesis. Innocent animals. I was reminded when I was studying this passage that Adam also named the animals. It doesn't say here that he maybe named this ones, but there was a relationship between animals and mankind. But innocent animals, their blood was shed on behalf of Adam and Eve to cover over Adam and Eve's nakedness. And my friends, this is a picture once again of God's grace. And we should ponder upon what God has done for us, even from the beginning of Genesis, how He revealed Himself tirelessly to mankind to cover over our nakedness, to cover over our shame. Have you been clothed with the righteousness of Christ? Or are you still trying to cover over your shame with your own efforts? Are you listening to the authority of God's word? Or are you listening to deception of Satan? Let's pray together. Yes, our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that your word is leading us truthfully in the way that you want us to follow. Father, help us that we appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. Our benediction is going to come from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and loses your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, the Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.